शांति, ओम शांति, या गुड मॉर्निंग, हार्टी वेलकम टू ऑल द स्पेशल ज्वेल्स ऑफ द ब्राह्मण क्लैन, या, वी आर जस्ट वी आर सेटिंग, आई मीन यू नो देयर मेनी टू कम, यू नो दे कीप कमिंग, you can occupy the front sofas because they are empty, those at the back please come in the front. So the Vietnamese translation frequency is 102.7 as it is, it's the same, and for Malaysians it's 95.5. I hope it's set. So once again I welcome all the special decoration of the Brahmin clan. Hearty welcome to all of you. And this morning we're going to have a panel. And before that I would like to ask you, did you enjoy yesterday's good night meditation? Yes? Just put your hands up if you have enjoyed it. It was nice, it was good. Yes. And I think the self-respect which we are practicing every day is also quite useful to all of us. Do you feel it? Yeah. So the self-respect for today is, I am favorite deity of all my bhagats. So I'm going to give special sakash to the whole tree, you know, to serve the, all the souls around the globe. So I'm a worship-worthy deity. So this is the self-respect for today. So all of you will sit. You walk, you talk by having this self-respect with you that you are a worship-worthy deity. So for a moment, let's experience that. Let's forget this corporeal form and just visualize ourselves as a worship-worthy deity. I see myself dressed in the form of a deity. And I thank you, Baba, for giving me such an elevated status to become a deity. So as a deity, I'm going to sit and watch the panel. So come back. So we have four angels in front of us, four Baba's precious angels. So let us give a big hand and welcome. So now I hand over the mic to Sheila Ben to conduct the panel. She's in Gyan since 25 years. She has served in Toronto, Chicago, Oxford and New York. And she works as a substitute teacher in Tennessee, USA. So I hand over the mic to her to conduct the panel and also mention to you about the topic of the panel and clear the topic, and also you'll have question and answer session. And even if you have any questions, in the end you can ask. Yeah?
So first of all, Om Shanti. I'd like to introduce Brother Kumar. Kumar Bhai has took Gyan in Singapore 27 years ago, and the last 7 years he's helped out in service in Global House and Australia retreat centers. And he just returned back from Malaysia after serving 3 years in Cambodia. And the one thing he likes in Baba's Gyan is the definite and permanent change it has brought him. And our next panelist.
Okay, just wave
your
hand.
So wave your hand, Hemaben. But before. Hemaben has been in Gyan for 31 years. And she took knowledge in London, and she has the fortune of being directly sustained by Daddy Janki. She has done service in UK, Africa, Dubai and the USA, and now she's at the Anubhuti Retreat Center in California, USA. The one thing that I like about Baba's knowledge, she has said, is the freedom it brings to her. And we'll ask her, what does she mean by that freedom? And Jasmine is the next one that will be sharing jewels here. And she's been in knowledge for 25 years. She's took knowledge in Germany and now is at the Global Retreat Center in Oxford. She likes the constant growth and that it's not stagnant and there's newness and progress in her life. So these are the three people that are on the panel. The first question I would like to ask, at Amrit Vela, what is your personal practice and experience with Baba? Okay. First I'd like to ask Brother Kumar.
I pay two things, attention, two things. One, having a goal. What is my goal and what is my aim that I want to achieve or experience with Baba, you know? And so I prepare myself. Like today is being a deity, that could be my aim, you know? And having different kinds of aim helps me to have variety of experience. And secondly, paying attention. Especially as soon as I wake up, and by the time I come for Amrit Vela, a lot of thoughts can come to my mind. And I pay attention not to dwell on them, even service thoughts. We have one service thought, and when you dwell on them, you'll go off tangent, and it's difficult to bring back my mind to course. So I pay particular to do these two things.
Okay. Shanti. I guess when I came into Gyan, and it's something that I learned, and it always stayed with me. And I always sometimes say that sometimes, you know, when you sit in front of Baba, you know, jokingly I say, sometimes when you're staring at Baba, it seems like a still TV, I used to say, right? Yeah? Still TV, you're just looking at this picture. You know, sometimes it feels that way, you're just sitting there. Every day is different, right? But I always have the aim that when I do sit in front of Baba, I never feel that he's just a translator. I feel that Baba himself is sitting in front of me and Baba is giving me Sakash light, might, power. It's not just a light that I'm sitting in front of. Once that feeling is there, obviously prior preparation, you know, I have the aim to read something or some kind of thought, or we have a beautiful retreat center. So where I live and the kitchen is quite across. So by the time I walk across, we have a bench. So sometimes I might sit on the bench 5-10 minutes, you know, just breathing in the fresh air and appreciating my fortune and what Baba has given. A lot of that kind of contemplation or thought goes in. But sitting in front of Baba, the aim is not to have thoughts, you know. But the aim at that time is totally to absorb. You know how Baba says, even if you have service aim, that's not called meditation. Or you think about service. Because that is the time that you directly take from Baba. And there's that feeling that I'm directly connected to Baba. You know, sometimes I say to them in class, I said, sometimes you feel that I'm not able to upload, but I can download. Right? Sometimes uploading is hard. So you download. Sometimes the feeling is that Baba is giving me that Sakash, the light, the might, the power, whatever it is that I need at that time. Maybe that might seem a little difficult. So you really have to figure out what works for you. But really, truly the feeling that Baba himself is sustaining the soul, Baba himself is giving the Sakash, the light and the power. Okay, in essence.
Jasmine Bin?
I think for myself, my first and my main attention is to be alert, because I think, I must say, I went through many, many years in Gyan, probably about half the time I've been in Gyan, where I've struggled with tiredness. If I'm honest, and I think Amrit Vela is really the time where, you know, it's a lot of clearing takes place as well, and you've got old things emerging, and sometimes tiredness because of maybe some carelessness or some old stuff that you haven't sorted out yet, you haven't addressed yet. And so I actually felt there was a long phase of that. And for that, actually, I just wanted to say, for everyone, I think, because I know many Brahmins go through this, and they sometimes get tired or frustrated with themselves or develop self-doubt. And I think for me, it's always helped me to keep going, no matter what the experiences are, even if you go through phases where you are tired or phases where you don't experience much or whatever. It really is to keep going and to keep faith, and even just the effort to even get up and sit there and to keep, you know, trying to connect with Baba and stay with it. I think this is where you earn your... you know, you earn your marks for that, and eventually actually what happens is Baba does help you to shift things. It might take a bit of time, but eventually things change and you feel more alert and you feel more focused and have a better experience. And now I feel, I think after years of making effort on it and actually never being careless in it, because I've always got up with rare exceptions, but after making efforts for quite a number of years, I feel things are shifting, and I feel more and more a sense of, I think my main, to be honest, I'm not somebody in the early morning hours, I'm not somebody who has a very clear, distinct aim as such, but for me, my main experience is that of love. You know, like you sit in front of your beloved and just merging in love, and really opening your heart to Baba and absorbing Baba's love. But also the experience of truth for me is very important. You know, the sense of being completely alone with, you know, just God or truth and I, the soul, and, you know, just connecting with that deep sense of I, the soul, with the supreme, with the ultimate truth, and connecting with my own truth, my own self-respect, and also with Baba as the truth and as the ultimate beloved. So I think this is probably the main focus I keep for myself.
The second question, what helps you to keep your zeal and enthusiasm in your daily life? Brother Kumar again.
So keeping zeal and enthusiasm, I think what destroys your zeal and enthusiasm is waste thoughts. As soon as many storm waste thoughts, you feel low and you lose your zeal and enthusiasm, you know. And I think I keep three things. One, you need to churn knowledge. Yeah? When you churn knowledge, you find that eliminates a lot of waste, you know. Then you become just happy. Okay? And secondly, if I have to do something, or if I do something, I make sure I'm happy doing about it. Otherwise, the action that I do is wrong. It creates waste, and then it makes me feel low. So I should enjoy, or I find reasons why that what I'm doing is good, or find some benefit in it. So that brings a form of happiness that manifests in terms of enthusiasm, you know. And lastly, uplifting. If you give knowledge to someone and you uplift someone, I find the blessings that comes from them, also you feel happy. But if you can't give knowledge, or at least you cook with enthusiasm or happiness, people are very appreciative of it. If you can't do that, a smile. If you can just smile, and that brings a lot of enthusiasm to yourself and to others.
Sister Hema?
Like I said, that many words have connotation, feelings, and meanings. Yeah? Connotation, feelings, and meanings. Right? It's like whenever the word zeal and enthusiasm comes, I always remember my personal blessing with Baba. Bab Dada in personal meeting. I remember whenever I read that word or it comes in the Murli or whatever, I remember one of my years in Om Shanti Bhavan, personal blessings. I think some of you may know about it or not. Because on arrival, you would go on the stage and Baba will give you a toli. Okay? And then you had your own personal meeting, then departure toli. That's usually the system. And I remember one of the years, this is like honest, I was going through a lot of stuff in my head, thinking Baba has given me so much, I haven't returned, and that kind of stuff. You can say I was like a basket case, right? So one year I'm sitting in front of Baba, you know, I'm feeling a lot. And then Baba gives me this A4 size long blessing, right? Because Baba in those days used to take time to make sure you were okay. And if you weren't okay, he wouldn't let you go, basically. So at that year, he said to me, "You are the one who has a lot of zeal and enthusiasm. And because of your zeal and enthusiasm, you give zeal and enthusiasm to others. And let me tell you, I did not see 1% of that in me. 1%. Now people have a lot of zeal and enthusiasm, right? But I could see that Baba could perceive the soul, future of the soul. And Baba, perceiving the future of the soul, Baba said that. You know, so whenever I even just when I think about my the way that I've been sustained, you know, just self itself gives me a lot of zeal and enthusiasm. Like you can imagine living in a retreat center and, you know, a lot of activities and, you know, a lot of programs and stuff. And I guess the way I keep my zeal and enthusiasm alive is like sometimes, you know, like for example, Dadi Janki comes. And, you know, myself and Sister Elizabeth, we may be the main coordinator, but we end up doing the work, so we give benefit to other people. So, you know, sometimes I say to myself, "Papa, it's fine. You have invested a lot in this instrument for 30 plus years, right?" So when I have that awareness of how much Baba has invested in this soul, or I say, "Baba, I'm your living investment. I am your living investment." Whatever goes in, whatever you invest, is what you get out. So when I have this kind of thoughts or feelings, or when I think how Baba has sustained the soul, or what Baba has given, or how Baba keeps giving, or I think about my relationship with Dadi Janki, a lot, then the soul instantly has zeal and enthusiasm. You know, so I don't kind of like, you know, why this, why that, just doesn't occur in my mind. And on the basis of that attainment, you know, the soul is able to have zeal and enthusiasm and move forward. So there is not that feeling of stagnant, because sometimes being in Gyan long time, you know, could turn into stagnant. You know, there is not feeling like daily routine, same thing, every day. But I feel that the creativity has to be in my head. Until unless the creativity or the zeal and enthusiasm isn't there, then it just, nothing seems to move. Nothing seems to change. It is as it is. So it's really your inner feelings, your, you know, inner bhavna, your relationship with Baba, and a lot is there, you know. I mean, I can't say in essence zeal and enthusiasm. Okay?
Now I understand. When I in America, it's a big country, so I live on the East Coast and Himabin is on the West Coast, and I tune into the California Murli, and so it's like 10 o'clock my time. So sometimes when Himabin reads the Murli, now I can see the blessing coming through of zeal and enthusiasm.
I have no idea that you even listen to the Murli, actually. We do webcam in USA. We do webcam because some of the students live very far. And for the furthest student, we do webcam every morning. So they actually get to see who's reading the Murli and whatever. And I don't really do webcam in a sense that the webcam is done from San Francisco. Unless if Sister Chandra is not there and I go and offer Thursday Bog or some special occasion.
Or Anubhuti.
Yeah. Or the camera comes to Anubhuti. Mm. So that's probably.
Yeah. So when she reads the Murli, she gets everybody all interested and picks on people for points and to make sure everybody's awake.
that's really an art, isn't it?
It is.
Because, you know, the thing is, I feel for even for the students that they should also have zeal and enthusiasm. Because my feeling is that BK life is not just about work, or seva. You know, sometimes our basis of our life is just seva. But that is totally wrong. You know, service keeps you moving. This is what it is like sometimes. So I feel for the staff that we have. There's 8 staff. And retreat center means a lot of work. And I just feel for them, look, 1 hour Baba has given to you to take from Baba. To take from Baba. So sometimes I create different methods for myself and for them to have zeal and enthusiasm. You know, what I'll do is I'll take out 5 or 6 questions from the Murli. You know, and then I'll ask them at the end to find an answer. Or sometimes I say, I'll read 1.5 page, brothers find the question, ask the sister, then vice versa. You know, because I feel, okay, I know you're tired, you work tight, I'm also aware, but at the same time, my feeling is, at least for an hour, take something from Baba. So I end up trying to figure the Murli in a different way. So they're also, and it's lovely, you know, the way they smile and, you know, just, you know, they got something from the Murli or something different, or they have to find a question to ask the sisters, they will have extra attention. They also, it's like that. So here, I think that it's, for them it's important too.
So you can take the blessing what Baba gave to her of zeal and enthusiasm. Okay, Jasmine Bin?
Well, I think a lot has been said already, actually, because for me it's quite similar to what the other two have shared already, to be honest. I'm in a similar situation as Hema Ben. I also live in a retreat center. So there's all-round work, lots of service, different varieties, a lot of physical work as well as teaching, but more physical probably. And you go through phases of, you know, it's been a while ago since I've had this, but probably some years back where I felt bored because of maybe doing similar jobs and similar tasks in Baba's service. And it was very good learning for me, I think, because it really helped me to break through some feelings of, you know, you're trying to sustain yourself on the basis of what you're doing or draw, you know, like sometimes you like to do variety things or we like to do certain things that are stimulating for us in service. And but actually to learn not to take your sustenance and stimulation from what you're doing, but to really learn to keep yourself occupied inside, in your mind, in your thoughts, with Gyan and with Baba while you're doing things. That's one thing. And I think that's a big lesson, that has been a big lesson for me, to really do when Baba says karma yoga. We often focus on the karma, on the action, but not on the yoga actually. But if we manage to really keep that connection alive and to keep bringing newness into Gyan and looking at Gyan in different ways and looking, going to the depth of Gyan, then it changes everything, the way we feel about what we do. And in fact, actually now I've discovered that the more monotonous the jobs are that you're doing, for example, even if it's cleaning or whatever, you might be doing that for 2 or 3 hours, and which could easily bore you. But if the more monotonous these jobs are, the easier it is to go really into the depth of Gyan. I find that actually it's very, very stimulating to talk to Baba, have conversation with Baba, think about aspects of the Murli, go into the depth. So that is one aspect. And the other thing that I really learned that's been a big lesson for me is that you know, not to see what we do on an external level as kind of the aim. For example, you know, we might give more importance to the shell, to what's external, and less importance to what's inside the shell. And I've discovered that whatever's on the outside, the service that we do or the role that we play, the external role, is really external and it's of no importance whatsoever ultimately. What's really of importance is what you feel inside, what your commitment is to Baba, and also what you're, you know, what you have to find out, you have to discover for yourself what your purpose is, what is your personal contribution to Baba's task. And it's not the, you know, the work I do, the service, the lectures I give, the cleaning, the cooking, whatever it might be doing, I might be doing. It's not about that. Actually, really, it is about what you feel your personal contribution is. And for me, when I realized that and I went into the depth of that, of what that contribution is, it gave me a lot of enthusiasm. For example, the enthusiasm of, you know, just be giving the contribution of creating harmony in the family and really making an effort to give respect and to creating an atmosphere of love and respect for others, making others feel at home, making others feel a sense of belonging, or, you know, making them feel they're your friend, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, what it is that you feel, creating an atmosphere of cleanliness, of purity. You know, you really have to make it special, whatever, however simple the task is you're doing, to make it special and find depth and meaning, you know, in that subtle, in that spiritual contribution, rather than just, you know, the physical or the external aspect of it. So you have to make it meaningful for yourself. So I think that's been important for me, but also in general the attitude of learning, I find that is very, very important to me. Just to make sure not to get caught up in any form of routine, doing things for namesake, but really paying attention not to get into stagnancy. If, you know, to observe what's going on within myself, And rather than just sitting in yoga because it's time to sit in yoga, to pay attention to the quality. You know, what is it that I'm really doing? Am I really focusing? Am I really having yoga? Am I just sitting there? You know, and the mind is wandering off somewhere. So I think, that's been another very important aspect. And of course, actually what Hemaben was saying, this aspect of appreciation and gratitude of my fortune, that's been a very powerful method for me also to find enthusiasm. To really feel the sense of, you know, to keep looking at that and reviving that sense of what Baba has given to me. And it's really so much. When we are aware of that, you know, it gives us a lot of joy and enthusiasm.
So that, I like that art of bringing ordinariness and changing it to extraordinary. Okay, so the next question. Which is your most important relationship with Baba? And why? Hemaben?
You're going to go this way. I guess there's a lot there, but I'm really pondering about that one. You know, obviously, in the morning time, you know, Baba filling the soul, sustaining the soul. But I think most of all, out of all the relationship, I would say Baba is my guide or Baba is my protector. You know, I say to Baba as my guide, since I came into Gyan very early, I remember my first experience when I was in Dubai in 1986. You know, I was very young and it was one of my first posting for service, and Brahmins I could count on my finger. Now there's about 500 Brahmins, right? And so you are asked to speak in front of 300, 400 people. My first experience, how Baba, I made Baba my guide. You know, Baba guiding me. So I remember Sister Chakradhari had come to Dubai in 1986. And we had this huge place. And the sister instrument said to me, speak first. Okay? I just arrived. I'm a new kid in the block, right? When you get in the block, I'm supposed to say something. And so I said to the sister instrument, I said, not taking any names, right? Go be your name and palm. So I said to the sister, how do I start? She just looked at me. She said, have you never heard Dadi Janki or Sister Sudesh? And I thought to myself, yeah, you're a great help, aren't you? You know, in my mind, I'm thinking like this, right? And then I just started Baba. I started remembering Baba. Baba is my guide, guiding the soul. And I didn't know what happened, but apparently they told me after the program was over, we went to the seat for a walk, the instrument sister, Sister Shepherd, and myself. And they told me I took more time than the speaker, which I was not aware at all. So, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm not as bad as I think I am. I think I do a pretty good show. You know, when you're young, you think that way. I'm not as bad as I think I am. But I remembered Baba. So anyway, making the long story short, and then after a couple of days, I had to speak again. And this time I was on my own. Okay? There was nobody else. So the first time, a lot of people paid compliment, saying that you spoke well, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Second time, I didn't get any compliments. Right? Why? I didn't remember Baba. My guide. And that was really a big learning in my life. So whenever I'm put on the spot, so I'd say to Baba, Baba, I'm the only one wearing a white sari right now. Everybody's looking at me. Now your name is at stake. Congratulations. Carry on, congratulations. You know, you create this relationship with Baba. You know, you're the guide. Or I'd say, Baba, your name is at stake. You know? But as soon as I'm able to let go of my own consciousness and let Baba do the job, you know, it's Baba. And I know I had many, many experiences that if I don't know something, either Baba will teach it to me or he'll provide somebody who knows the job. I don't know everything, right? But either he'll teach it to me. If he doesn't teach it to me, it's his job, it's his seva, whatever. But very much awareness all the time that Baba's guiding the soul. You know, to be able to do the right thing, right time. But I just kind of have to be in tuned I just have to be aware. And like I said, my first learning, let the I go out. And once I let the I go out, I'm able to let the guide do what he needs to do. And I don't get in the way. So that was really a profound learning of being humble, invoking Baba, Baba's energy, and Baba truly the real guide.
Thank you for sharing. And Jasmine?
I think my, I'm not sure about most important, my favorite relationship with Baba, I think, is that of the beloved or husband. And the reason for that is that I find, well, for myself, if I keep Baba as a beloved or a husband in front of me, then my eyes don't go anywhere else. I don't get distracted. You know, there could be a tendency where you feel you get caught up with other souls, or you feel you listen to what other people's opinions are, or you get influenced by others, or maybe attracted to others, specialities or whatever it might be. And for me, focusing on that and really keeping Baba as the ultimate true beloved, you know, it's this when you're completely in love with somebody, you don't have eyes for anybody else, for anything else. And nothing or no one else in the world is important to you, really, because you're completely focused. And it just helps me to be absolutely focused on Baba and not to get distracted by what other people think or say of me, or say about what I meant to be doing or not meant to be doing. And it's this, I love this image of the faithful bride, you know, who just keeps looking at her beloved and not looking at anybody else. So for my own spiritual effort, I find this is the most important one, because it's really this complete focus on one, that there's just one support rather than taking subtle support from others. You know, when you take sometimes support, and you might, if you're going through something difficult, or you know, you have some questions in your mind, and you know, you always remember the one who you love the most, you'll remember them first, who is most important to you, so you'll go to that person to find support or advice. And we could easily make human beings our support in different situations. And for me, Baba is the beloved, or the husband, just means there's just one, and this is the only one I go to for any questions, for any advice in difficulties, because, you know, that's the only one. And I'm faithful, you know, and don't let Baba down either. I have to fulfill my part of the contract as well within that. So I think for myself, that's probably the most important one. Although I agree also the aspect of the guide, I do often also experience Baba as the guide. Just whenever there's questions, you know, sitting quietly and getting a sense of what it is I need to do next, and really feeling that Baba's always there to guide the soul and to show whatever is next, what the next step has to be.
Thank you for sharing that. I like that yukti very much, of having Baba as your beloved. That way you can remember Baba the whole day. Brother Kumar?
I mean, I don't have a favorite or very important relationship. I mean, at different phase of Brahmin life, you have different relationship. But what has been very consistent is Baba has been as a mother, you know, and always find that healing power of Baba as a mother has sustained me, it put me in different situation. Although I don't see the benefit at that point of time, but I felt that motherly love, you know, that motherly concern, and he's sort of pushing me, you know. And when I think about all these events that happened in my Brahmin life, I felt that love, you know, and very connected. And of late, or recently, I've been feeling Baba as a friend, you know. And sometimes you have heart-to-heart conversation, and the immediate feeling that comes, I feel very light and no waste. Oh, but now I say, Baba, this soul is trying to give me Maya, and then that's it. The situation is finished. I don't think about it anymore. No, it's done, you know. And it is a nice feeling that comes out of it, you know. Or sometimes I just walk, you feel that just someone is there beside you, you know? And so that has been my late feeling, and I'm sort of exploring it, you know? And it's just, it feels real. That's the thing about it.
Are all of you awake? Because this question is very important. The next one. You want to start the dance? Okay. So, be attentive to this question. Since you have been in Gyan for many years, in what form does Maya come, and how do you tackle Maya? Jasmine?
Talking about the present, right?
Yes, yes.
I think for me personally, and we are meant to be very open and honest, isn't it? For me personally, I think there are three main forms for myself. And the first one is very much related to what I was sharing earlier. And actually it's the Maya coming in the form of ordinariness or carelessness. You know, when you get caught up in routine and you're distracted by doing this and that and the other, and, you know, action conscious kind of thing. And then, you know, in that, when you're in that kind of state, you're not actually focusing on Baba and not focusing on Gyan while you're doing what you're doing. You're just focusing on what it is that you need to get done. And that is actually quite dangerous, I find. You know, or you're actually going, even going for meditation, you might be going as a routine in the morning, and you find that you're sitting there, but actually you're not really fully alert, not really focused. That is dangerous, because then ultimately you're actually disconnected from Baba at that time, and you're not drawing from Baba, you're not sustaining yourself. And so you become weak, and you're becoming tired, and then you become bored, and all of that. So I don't get this in a major and a big form, but I know that it creeps in sometimes. And I think this is the alertness to make sure there's never that kind of state, you know, not that stagnancy, that I really keep observing myself. This is the method, I guess, to get out of it, or to stay out of it as much as possible, to really be alert to what's going on inside of me, not to go on auto kind of thing, but to keep observing myself, keep changing track, and be very aware and alert to that. Another form, which is probably one of the most frequent ones for myself, is, I think, the whole area of self-respect. Even after many years in Gyan, you go through many different stages, and you know, your self-respect increases, but it still fluctuates. In my case, I find that. And so subtly, you know, you might get affected by what other people think of you, whether they respect you or don't respect you, you know, other people's opinions, or you might subtly compare yourself or feel somebody else is better, or maybe not really acknowledging, you know, your own specialities. Having, you know, subtle thoughts about that, feeling inferior, feeling, you know, feeling that you're not as powerful as you're meant to be or whatever. So this is something that still creeps in from time to time. And for me, there's two things. I think one thing is ongoing effort on self-respect, because I think this is something actually we all get in some form or the other. And the importance is really to keep at it and not to think, you know, when you go through phases and you feel I'm okay, but even that is actually carelessness. And self-respect, it's been my discovery, I think, is something that you need to constantly, continuously watch and observe and strengthen in yourself, continuously. If you don't continuously pay attention to it, you subtly become slack. Gradually, you know, Maya starts to settle in that way that you subtly feel, whether it's a feeling of insult or a feeling of someone else being better than you or whatever. And so constant attention in that area is really required. And really seeing myself the way Baba sees me, and to keep that vision in front of me all the time, and not to get caught up in either subtle arrogance or subtly feeling that I'm less than others, because that really is just, you know, one big Maya, that whole area. Another thing is for me that this observing myself and being really in touch with my own feelings is very, very important. And I've observed actually that, you know, there are many of us, you know, of Brahmins, when I hear their experiences, you know, where a lot of souls still don't really make the effort to connect with themselves on that deeper level and to really watch out for what's going on. And for myself, this is something I've paid attention to, I think, from the beginning of Gyan, and that's helped me incredibly. So that means that if you have a slight feeling of discomfort, you know, something nagging, a little bit of hurt, a little bit of sorrow, a little bit of something not quite right, that you, rather than just ignoring it and move on to the next thing, that you actually really make the effort to sit down quietly with yourself and with Baba and to really look exactly what's going on. Where is this subtle feeling coming from? What is it that's bothering me? Was it something someone said? And if it was something someone said, what is the root of that feeling inside of myself? What is it really on a deeper level that's lacking, you know? Is there a subtle desire for something, an expectation, self-doubt, or whatever it is, to be really alert to my inner feelings and to sort them out immediately rather than to let things continue and build up and then become really, really heavy as a result of that. To address things immediately and sit with Baba and go inside and become very quiet and sort them out. And that applies, I guess, also for the third aspect, another aspect of Maya, which I occasionally get, not very often actually, used to be quite regular in my early days, but occasionally it still comes up, and that is just a subtle feeling of heaviness or sadness for no reason. And I found actually with this one, I found that it actually is, apart from sometimes it can have a concrete reason, but quite often it doesn't have any reason whatsoever. And it just comes from nowhere. And I realize that sometimes these things are just old accounts, you know, things from the past, just some old burden that's emerging in that form of subtle sadness or heaviness. And when that comes, you kind of feel quite helpless because there's no reason. You know, there's absolutely nothing. Nothing's happened. Nothing's bothering you. It just comes from nowhere. And when that sort of Maya comes, for myself, what I do now is that, first of all, again, you know, Baba's room has always been a place of great help for me, really, really, really taking Baba's help rather than going to somebody else, talking to someone, really sitting with Baba. But the most important thing is while I'm doing that is that I'm in a state of acceptance and I don't fight it. I don't go against it. I don't argue. I don't feel bad about myself. I just accept this feeling. Sometimes I visualize the feeling, you know, I give it a form or shape. I think of it as like a dark figure in front of me. You know, just like an old friend that's coming in to visit. And you just look at that dark old feeling and you just accept it completely. Accept it's okay. It's there and it's okay and I'm not going to fight it. So that's the first thing. And when you do that, actually, already it loses its grip on you. I find that that's a really important one. And then the next thing is actually to not take it too seriously, but to, you know, just take it very lightly and to just say it's okay, you know, it's not a big deal, because we tend to blow things up, you know, out of proportion, we make them really big, and we give them a big form, and then Maya really goes for it, becomes really big in your mind, in your heart. And so I really try and make it small and just say, you know, just take it very lightly and not to take it too seriously. It's no big deal. It's just come to visit or maybe to say goodbye and it's okay. And then lastly, I think just really connecting with Baba and just, you know, immersing myself in Baba's love and take Baba's help and support and try and be as still as possible. And I often find actually when I do that, that Baba always gives me some sort of a signal, you know, something, you know, some aspect I need to pay attention to, or, you know, something, you know, that will help me to come out of it, you know, some aspect of self-respect or Baba's love, just a sense of being loved by Baba. And I think maybe one last aspect that also helps with this particular one, of this, you know, heaviness or sadness coming from nowhere, is to make sure that I don't stay passive, but, you know, I keep active and I keep myself involved in doing things and keep going, keep doing things, meeting people, talking to people, doing service, and that really helps not to get stuck in it, in that feeling.
Boy, a lot of points for attacking Maya there. Okay, Hemavan.
I guess some people's stuff is very visible, Maya stuff. Some people's Maya stuff is internal and some people's external. Correct? Am I right? Some is external, some is internal. What I find is because Baba has put this instrument in a retreat center and I always have this thing in my mind of being professional all the time. Everything has to be timely, on time. Like emails has to be answered on time, you know, or things have to be done timely. You know, I guess I have very those timely sanskars. You know, I remember, again, not taking any name. At one point I had gone to a particular place. I'll just say a place, okay? And one of the person warned me that this person is not very particular on time. Okay? And I'm supposed to be working with this person. And so we have to go out and do things. So I took it okay for a while, you know. And then after a couple of months, this soul made me wait like 2-3 hours, right? And I could feel my feelings changing, not feeling very good. I could feel my temperature. So then I went and sat in Baba's room. You know, I said, what is this? People have no respect for time. You know, it's like with us, like I always tell people an example, like Sister Jayanti, you know, when we used to live with Sister Jayanti, she said she'll be back at 2. 2 means 2. Time is time. You value time. And I just sat in front of Baba, and then really, as soon as I could let my mind stop, I could feel Baba is telling me, don't wait for that soul. You just can't continue what you have to do. That soul will come to you. My thing is to do things on time, professional, remember my instructions, you know. And sometimes I'm really tested, you know, when I have to repeat myself 4 times. Did you do this? Did you do this? You know, so I think, okay. Then sometimes I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to leave it and see if that gets done. So I end up having to use different angles, different ways, you know, that I can maneuver and I can do things. So I think my biggest one is time factor. I kind of sometimes feel that people don't respect time. And when things are not being done on timely manner, that is a little hard for me. Because in some ways I have very English sanskars. So that's one thing I really have to work on, let go of everything. You know, whether they do it on time, don't do it on time, happens, not happens. Partly I think I need to throw all of that out of the window and forget everything. Then partly I think I have a responsibility, you know, to make sure things happen. So, and then sometimes I say, okay, I say to myself, okay, that thing didn't get done, okay, you do it. But look at the other 10 things they did. They might have not done what I did ask them to do. Okay, it might have been important. But the way I give myself consolation is to look at the 10 things they did. Or the way I give myself consolation is that if they didn't do it, I would have to do that too. Hey, if they didn't do it, I'd have to do that job too. So take it that they've done that. So I try to restructure, reframe things in my mind that I can be okay with, you know, whatever the situation and work with a given situation. So mine is usually on that level of being professional and doing timely manner. I think that's my only and biggest one, which I do have homework to do on that one.
So what happens when you come to India?
I don't keep connection with them.
No, no. When you're in India and how the India
I
time...
I don't...
When you're here.
The point is, in India, it's like, you know, when you go to somebody, like for example, when I go to San Francisco, okay, and if I'm there for a night or something, I just love it. I don't have to answer the telephone. I don't have to do anything. Okay, if I'm in Anubhuti, if I'm eating, I'll get up 3 times, right, to answer the phone, right? So my point is, this is like being in San Francisco. I don't have to think about it, right? I don't have somebody else waiting for an answer saying, okay, you told me you'll give me an answer, what is the answer? That I don't have to do. But even when I leave home, I tell them, make decision the way you want to. You know, I'm fine with whatever the decisions you want to make. However you want to do it, you don't need to consult me. But obviously they'll call and ask, or if I don't have a phone, they say, why didn't you have a phone? I said, look, I'm going to a land of tapasya. You know, in the olden days when he came to Mathupur, there was not a single telephone. They were so great, it was awesome, you know. And then one telephone came, all the lines started, right? And then they started announcing your email, come and get your email. So things have changed a lot. But in myself, I appreciate just the tapasya. You know, just forget the cell phone, forget this. You're here for a purpose. So that's why I don't worry about whatever they do at home, it's fine. Okay?
Kumarabai?
Yeah, Maya is a very big topic. She's always there, you know, and always persistent. And yeah, we can talk a lot about her.
Oh. Why is it Maya is always her?
Because Ravan is he.
Well. Because she does she always win is my question. Is it because she, that's why she wins? Is that how it is?
What do you think?
People let she win, right? She is always right, right? Is that why we let she win?
Let it be, you're right, that's good, let it be. And but as I said, Maya comes in many forms, and sometimes Maya comes in instruments, you know, you feel this instrument good, and then you get along with them, and suddenly they give you Maya. And so sometimes you're stuck, and you know, this is where you have to make your personal. So, as I was saying, Maya comes even through instruments, and that can be quite challenging, you know. Because once I tried being honest, but the Maya took the form, doubled the force, you know. And so that's a challenge. But along the path, I realized I also have become an instrument to give Mayas to others, you know, especially students. And my Maya is that sometimes you can't make accurate decisions, and then the students get Maya with me, you know. It's a simple thing. Like once we are driving from a service place and we all were hungry, and so we are just rushing to go to center for dinner, but I just missed a turn. And I was missed a turn, and we took a long road, and everybody got Maya with me. See, so simple decisions like that can bring a lot of Maya. You see, and I'm working on that. How to improve my discrimination power so that everybody, it's there, it's a process, but I'm working on it, you know. And and also I have a certain level of tolerance, and sometimes this even in terms of power, they also become tolerant. That helps for them to accommodate me, you see. But I don't want that to happen anymore, you know. I want to get blessings. So this is the form of Maya which I'm trying to eliminate from myself. And the other thing that I discovered lately is that sometimes when you become an instrument, and you expect certain privileges, maybe a better room, a better facilities, you know, and you don't get that, and then Maya hits you, you know. And then I have to work on that. Wow. Then I realized, no, I shouldn't expect anything. Whatever is provided is good. Be a complete beggar, you know. It's still a process. So these are the different Mayas that come to me.
So isn't it nice to hear that Maya comes to the center, Nivasis? Just imagine when you're not living in the center. And if you live in America, Maya's at every corner waiting for you. The next question. What is your one suggestion from your personal experiences of being a Brahmin many years for Baba's new children? Jasmine?
Only one suggestion. I think for me, personally, what I feel, what is the most important, connected to what I said earlier, what I would suggest to everyone who's coming now as well, or the newer ones as well, that the foundation should always be Gyan and Yoga and not service. I found for myself that this is something actually I did. The first few years I focused only on Gyan and Yoga and wasn't involved in service at all. And I find even now, after 25 years, I find this is what's sustaining me. This foundation of really focusing on that and going, learning, really teaching yourself to go into the depth of Gyan and to extract, you know, something that's really personal to you, rather than just, you know, take it on a kind of, you know, head value, you know, just intellectually understand this is what Baba's saying, but you need to really go into the depth and really make it meaningful to you and extract what it means to you and what it feels like, what the experience of Baba's Gyan is, rather than just have it as a concept in your head. And when you do that, when you teach yourself that, then that's very, very strong foundation, so that when times come when you're involved in service, and you might not have that much time after some years to focus on that, on Gyan and Yoga, as much as you have in the beginning. But this is really what sustains you and that keeps you going. And you're teaching yourself, you're laying the foundation, you're teaching yourself in those early years to, you know, to have that ability to go into the depth and to really make yoga real for yourself. You know that because many times Brahmins, even after years, still complain that they don't feel they know what yoga is or how to meditate and all of that. And I find that, you know, the early years, that's the time when you really, when you can give yourself the chance to tackle that and to learn it, to teach yourself, to draw as much as you can from Baba, and this is what will then sustain you. And when you actually, when you do that, when you learn to go into the depth, this is what sustains you many years after that. And this is what keeps you safe from Maya and also from stagnancy and boredom. And I think stagnancy and boredom and lack of experience are probably the greatest dangers in Brahmin life, or one of the greatest dangers, these three things. Stagnancy, boredom, and lack of experience. And that's why many people, you know, eventually many souls leave Gyan because of that, because they don't have experiences or they feel stagnant. Whilst if you, you know, do that from the beginning and learn to go into the depth and to observe yourself very carefully and to use Gyan practically in your life, then you keep yourself safe from that.
I think what Jasmine Ben said is very practical, so I don't want to repeat what she has shared. But I feel that a lot of stuff, one is, firstly, I feel that even coming at this point in Gyan, you're very fortunate. Fortunate in a sense that, you know, everything is ready-made for you at your fingertips, right? You know, even Dadi Jan Kitchen's classes, you get this iPhone, iPad, hold up the job. You get everything at your access, isn't it? You know, there's nothing that you're not able to access. You know, even if your yoga is not working, you know, put a class music. There's a lot that you can take benefit from, you know. Like olden days, you were kind of left to figure it out yourself. You know, I tell people like 30 years ago, 35 years ago, there's hardly no meditation commentary book or nothing. You know, you had to figure it out yourself, basically, how this worked or how that worked. So in a sense, I'm giving you that compliment. You've come at a time where everything is churned and ready-made for you. You know, like Dadi Janki's class is like tawa to mouth, you know, so many. I'm just saying that you've got so much access that by which you have to figure out what helps you. You know, figure out what helps you. Having said that, I feel that we as individuals, we take a lot from Baba. I feel from morning to night, I'm sustained by Baba. I don't see any difference whether I'm living in the center or in the world outside, because we're both on the same page. Am I right? We're both on the same page, our dharana, everything is same, our aim is same, everything is same. That's something different and beautiful about the Brahma Kumaris. Correct? So I feel that if Baba is sustaining me, when the consciousness is right, even if you're living at home, it's Baba's bandara I'm eating from. This is Baba's house, whether it's center or my home. So I feel that when Baba is sustaining, doing everything for me, waking me, feeding me, taking care of me, protecting me, looking after me from morning to night, I feel with Baba, it's like a relationship. Any relationship is healthy when it is a two-way relationship. Correct? Correct? Two-way relationship? If your husband keeps doing things for you and you twiddle your thumbs at home and do nothing, he wakes the children, feeds them, takes them to school, do everything, does a job and everything. One day he's going to say, that's enough now. Pull your socks up. Do something. One-way relationship does not, mark my words, underline my words, one-way relationship does not last very long. Connecting with what Jasmine was saying, you might feel I'm taking more time. What Jasmine says, people's souls come and go. In 30 years, 30 plus years, where I've seen souls go, why they've left Gyan? One is due to their own weakness. They're not able to overcome certain sanskar or something about themselves. Baba okay. Baba fine. Gyan fine. But it's the self. So my remedy to that is if I'm back battling with something, working with something that I'm not able to change or shift or move, my personal thing is, let me take help from my seniors. Now, I remember at one time, I used to live in Oxford, and one time I walked in gentleman's room and I said, I don't need advice from you. I need you to listen to what I have to say. I feel that I have that relationship in this many years. I know I'm supposed to tell the seniors, so I'm telling you, so listen to what I have to say. You know? But my feeling is that if you there's something, don't battle inside by yourself. Because sometimes I feel that is hard. I told Baba, it's not shifting, it's not going. I wrote to Baba, it's not going. So I feel your senior. Any center where I have lived, I said, okay, if you don't feel comfortable with me, you go above me. Whether it's Sister Chandru, Dadi Janki, whatever, but I feel you find the remedy to whatever your situation is. So that's very important. Don't keep battling, fighting yourself if something's not changing or moving. So it's important to remember that one. Second one I said, have a two-way relationship with Baba. Have a karmic account with Baba. Karmic account with Baba. Right? Let me do for Baba. Let me not take everything for granted. Get it? I've taken morning to night as granted, as Baba's child. I have rights, I'm this. But what am I doing to give that return? Even students, I tell them, I said, okay, you've come here to do the course. You found a flyer. Go out and put a flyer back. Give that karma back. Do something. It's my gesture, my way of saying I love you. I remember when I used to live at home, I had a full-time job, obviously, Monday to Friday. Mind is like that, body's tired, whatever. But Baba says, do service through mind, body and wealth. Correct? So whatever you're able to do, okay, mind, very tired, big long hours job, body, no energy, wealth, whatever. I really have to see what am I doing to create that karmic relationships with God right now at the conference age. It's now or never. You know, I said, if you haven't put money in the bank account when you're young, when you're old, you say, I want $5,000. The guy in the bank is going, what a crazy old woman, never put a penny. But if you put $100, say, put it in the CD, you'll get a lot out. So I really have to bind with Baba. I have to do something. I mean, I tell you, I've seen so many people mentally, physically, spiritually not strong because it's not a two-way relationship. Honest to truth. Where I've seen souls where they have put Baba in front before their own need. They've never been without. There's one sister who comes to Anubhuti at weekend. She will never come empty-handed. If I ask her to buy one thing, she buys five. So I have to really be careful. I have to control her. Because I'm a kind of person, I don't want a penny extra in Baba's yagya. What is needed is fine, you bring. But extra, I don't want. I don't want to manage and I don't need. So one day I had the feeling, when I'm looking at this soul, I'm thinking, gosh, even in bhakti, you know, if she went to temple, God would have never sent her back home empty-handed. Now, because she's always brought. Bear my words, whatever I'm doing now karmically is going to come back in the cycle. Even service, anything I do, consistency, I will get back consistent. But if I think, oh, today I do service, tomorrow I don't do service, today I put in the box, tomorrow I don't put in the box. That's exactly how it's going to come back to you in the cycle, and you won't be very happy. You won't be very happy. So make sure whatever you do it consistent. I got million and ten examples I will give you, but I don't have time. But consistency, very important. You know, in our staff, there's one particular brother. Most of the staff works. They have a side job, whatever. They take care of their own thing. One brother doesn't have much. So I said, at the end of the month, I need you to put a dollar in Baba's box. How much? $1. The bills are much bigger than $1. $1, right?
No $1 is nothing against 15,000 expense. Correct? But I said, I want you to put that dollar with that right feeling for Baba. Not that I'm taking from Baba or I'm staying or I'm doing service. I said, you just balance the account that way, if that's the consciousness. So I really have to say, what is it that I'm able to do for Baba? It's like she was saying, Baba is my beloved. When you love somebody, you don't count what you did or how much you did. You get it? In your own home, you don't count. Like, you know, like in the retreat center, I mean, I may be the one of the main coordinator, but I do vacuum, whatever. It's your own home. So there's no feeling of higher or lower. This is a higher job. I remember when I first came into Gyan, in Tennyson Road, we were always in the kitchen all the time. So whenever they would put us in the office to put a stamp on the envelope, I'd make a joke at myself. Like you said, low self-esteem. I've been to that path. I've had that. And I used to say, oh, I've been promoted today. I'm sitting in the office. I got a promotion today. Now I'd say, if they want me to do something in the office, I said, I've been demoted. Right? So it's like you really have to think, I want to create such an account with Baba that even if I want to let go of his hand, he will not let go of my hand. He will not let go of my hand. So I really have to pay attention on that one. What is it that I as an individual being can do? Right? And then you're home free. There's nothing to worry about. Even you find that in your centers the instrument asks you to do service and you say no. I tell you one, two, three times you say no, they won't give you a chance again. They've got many other people. But it's okay to say no, but explain yourself. Sister, I'd love to do this job, but this situation has come. Can I do it tomorrow? Sometimes lack of communication happens in the centers with students. You don't explain yourself properly what your situation is. So then the other person doesn't understand. And the other person says, whenever I ask to do service, they always say no. What's the point asking that person anymore? Right? As a student, I feel I'm on the same wavelength as you. But I feel it's very, very important that you have a healthy relationship with your instrument. Healthy relationship with your instrument. That's going to help you survive in Gyan and progress. I'm sorry to be honest because I have typical American sanskar of being freedom, saying what I think. But you have to have a good relationship with your instrument. It's very important. Because if you don't have a good relationship with your instrument, what's going to happen? It's not going to be very healthy Gyan, is it? They kick you out. Right? But at the same time, for example, even if the instrument gives you an instruction to do something, I remember when I used to be in Dubai, Brother Rashikaran, when we ask him to do something, he won't say no. He'll just sit in Baba's room. He'll never say no. Then he'll figure it out. At the same time, you know how Baba says that in the Murli, if the instrument makes a wrong decision, whatever, Baba is responsible. You've heard that sentence. And I always, when it comes in the Murli, I clarify, what does Baba mean? What Baba means is that if the instrument gives you advice to do something, like we have given advice, but I gave it in the purest intention, but it wasn't the right thing, then Baba takes responsible. But if I gave instruction with the wrong motivation, then karmically I become responsible. Do you get it? So instrument does have a responsibility. But at the same time, it's equally true. I like that classical story about Didi and Mamma. You know, at beggary time, Mamma had gone to one of the centers and Mamma had asked Didi to make a nice toli. And Didi made this really fancy toli, expensive. So, and it was beggary time. So Mamma said, I ask you to make nice toli. Doesn't mean it has to be almond pistachio, whatever. So Didi said, but you said nice toli. But nice toli doesn't have to be that. There could be something else. So it's not that you can't use your mind. If something doesn't feel correct that the instrument asks you to do, but how do you come across is important. Right? You say,
great, I got it, but is it possible? Can we do like this? But again, that's on the basis of relationship. It's not that you have to blindly do it. But you have that relationship with the instrument. You say, but sister, can we try this way? Or maybe, sister, can we try the other way? Sister, is this possible? That's why I always tell students, at least there should be, let's say your instrument is not good, whatever X, Y, Z. But there, I always said, there has to be one student who's that close to that teacher that can say something. One student is that close. They can say, you're awesome, you're great. But you know, just this aspect of you. So all these are very, very important aspects. Because we've come to Baba with that right intentions and feelings to make it. You know, sometimes I think to myself, it's such a sad story when I think that, you know, half a cycle souls have been searching for God and they come and they're not able to pull it off. I think that's the saddest thing. They can't pull it off. They tried it 10 years, 15 years, and they're not here. I think it's such a sad thing. So make sure you don't fall into that trap. Be clear, be honest, and take advice and take help. I always feel if I tell something to Dadi, she won't judge me. So don't have that ego of being judged. Okay? Om Shanti. I think we're running out of time. Yeah, am I making sense what I said? I tell you, on the BK path, sailing is not always smooth. Mark my words. It's not, you won't have Amritvela awesome experiences every day. Bear that in mind. It's not going to be awesome every day. It's not going to be a flying stage every day. Accept it. Accept it. Okay? Once you've accepted it, then you're able to work with the situation. You know? So one day I was posted to Los Angeles, and I used to live with Sister Denise. This is like a long time ago. So once I said to Sister Denise, finally I figured out how come this Maya works, how this happens. You know, finally I got it. I finally, the penny dropped and I got it. But next day you're feeling like this, why? She says, because your ego got in the way. Finally I did it, I got it. So you have to be careful on the path. You know, not to let the ego get in the way. You know, humility is a great quality. So I'm sorry, I think I might have given you a big dose because I think, or maybe you're listening with too much attention. But be honest with yourself, be honest with your feelings, be honest with the seniors, and make sure you have a good relationship with your instrument. Even Baba says you have to tolerate. And then Baba says, if you tolerate on my name, you got marks. You got marks. Because you tolerated on my name. Even if you have to tolerate with your instrument, tolerate it. For the benefit of the other students. If it creates a good relationship. And then you can be speaker for other people. So put it in the account of blessing that Baba has said, tolerate. Yeah? Okay?
You not only got one advice, you got lots of advice there. And I wish 25 years ago I got this advice. It would have been helpful then, you know, when you go up and down. So you guys, the new ones, are especially lucky to get all these tips in advance. Kumar Bhai?
Yeah, a lot has been said, but I would agree that having a good relationship with instrument souls and fellow Brahmins is a proof of good Brahmin life. And we have to make deliberate effort for that sometimes, you know. Don't expect relationship to improve by itself. But sometimes I have to make a conscious effort that I want to make some good relationship with a person, you know. And I always feel, if you want to have a good Brahmin life, have this as a gauge. No matter what, never let go of your happiness. This is what Baba says. Happiness is a proof of, we are born to be happy, aren't we? You see? And happiness is like a gauge. When you drive a car, you have a gauge. You're going to a destination. And when you go off course, you bring yourself, align yourself, no? And so that should be your aim, to be happy. We'll experience many, many test paper. They'll go off course. But my aim, ultimately, I should be happy as a Brahmin life, no? And secondly, I see, like what has been said, never get stuck or wallow in situation, no? We all get Maya. But don't go into why, how, and extend it. No, it can be a small maya, but we can bring it for 1 year, 2 years. No, then you're stuck. Your progress is stuck, and then you find you're experiencing a lot of sorrow. Okay.
The last question: on what particular effort should be our current focus of speedily attaining a karmatit stage? Himagit?
I think what I have taken, just few days being here, like the Murali the other day that was read, and Baba was saying that how your thought, words, action, attitude, everything, check, am I following Father? I think that says everything. Like sometimes I check myself, you know, sometimes I ask myself, if Dadi was in my position, would she do like this? You know, I mean, for me, you know, Dadi, Jandibe and Sudeshben are my role models who have, you know, who sustained me. Or sometimes I think, would Sister Jandi do this? Do you know? So I say, simple, follow the Father. And that Murali was beautifully Baba explained. And that's all we have to do, you know, follow the Father. You know, that's...
Yeah, follow the Father, and also to become a dot in 1 second. No? Having that remembrance, no matter what situation, you should get to that point in 1 second. No matter how much your thoughts deviate. Yeah. So when you make that effort to become a dot, the effort that itself will lead you to perfection.
Yasin?
For me, I like to make everything very simple. It needs to be very simple so that I really pull it through and I focus on it. And I think after all these years of making efforts on lots of different things, my number one main effort is the most simple of all, which is, you know, Baba says it every day, is soul consciousness, which is the absolute foundation for everything. And actually in the last few weeks, Baba spoke a lot about spinning the discus of self-realization as well, that, you know, when we spin the discus, we can cut off Ravan's head. And so for me, I keep coming back to that. And actually, this is one of the things I've been working on also. I've only arrived actually in Madhuban, but one of the topics I've been working on the last little while, which is, well, there's two things actually. This aspect, spinning the discus, which means really, really, you know, seeing myself through time and, you know, really having the experience of when Baba says, you know, golden age, well, the seed stage, you know, point of light, then the deity form, the Brahman, worship-worthy and Brahman form, an angel, to have the experience of all of these stages and to make them real for myself, to experience the reality of those stages. Because actually when we experience all of these, then there's everything is included in that. When we keep that going throughout the whole day, keep experiencing one or the other of these stages, and that includes, of course, that is soul consciousness and spinning the discus. So that that is one of my main foundations, really, of everything. And secondly, I think, is really to let go of I and a sense of, rather than thinking that I have to make effort and I have to do this and I have to do that, to let go of the feeling of me organizing, planning and thinking and keep invoking Baba's presence and to experience Baba's guidance and be guided by Baba in yoga and as I go through my day. And I always find that's when real magic happens. So yeah, for me, within these two aspects, everything is included in that. But the most important one, soul consciousness, as Baba says, that's the highest destination. So when I do that, then, you know, naturally I have yoga as well, and then naturally I can feel Baba's guidance as well.
I want to thank all of you for sharing lots of wisdom with us. And I just wanted to share a few points. A lot of you were not here for Gita Bin Gyan Sarovar. She had shared a class with us. And one of the points she gave was when she surrendered and she was chose to come to Madhuban, she said she wanted to follow everything that Madhuban does, the timetable. So she was struggling with Amrit Vela. And in those days, in the 1970s, you could ask petty questions like, Baba, I can't do Amrit Vela, I get a headache. So she asked that question, and Baba told her that even though you get a headache, still wake up and be a conqueror of sleep. And the other one was, wake up and be a conqueror of sleep. And even if you broom, you know, sweep the floor, read the Murali, walk around, that's okay. And then he also said to her that at night, go to sleep without no thoughts of service. So just go without any tension. And he also gave her a physical remedy to put almond oil on her head for her headache.
One drop.
One drop, yeah. What did I say? Okay, one drop of almond oil. And then I was, what Kumar Bhai had shared about zeal and enthusiasm, about the smile. I was looking at the calendars of Madhubani. It says, a smile has 1,000 in its, in 1,000 languages, the smile all over the world is contagious. And then he, and the personal meeting of Hema Bins of zeal and enthusiasm, you know, take that as your personal blessing, the new ones. And all of Baba's Murlis, you know, if you read the Avyak Murlis, they're very intoxicating. If you read one every day with the Sakar Murli, it's very inspiring. And the relationships they had mentioned about the guide, beloved and mother. And for me, it's been father. So, you know, I think I'm going to take their relationships for myself, because especially the beloved, if I have the beloved all the time, then Maya will not come to me, you know, if I'm really, really, you know, in that stage of Baba is my beloved. And the guide, you know, when you do service, sometimes, you know, when I was new in Toronto, it was, you know, you had to ask, because there was only a few of us, a handful, and we had to do things. So, you know, always make Baba your guide. And the mother, you know, having Shri Baba as your mother and Mama as your mother, that will be also helpful. And then Baba often talks about Maya will come, but finish it off in a second. So be that alert and attentive that Maya will come, new or old, Maharati or young. And the oh, lots of Maya. lots of Maya. It's Amrit Vela is one of my, and what Gita Ben shared, I felt like Baba gave my answer. Especially when it's cold, it's real. I have a physical problem, so when it's cold, it's hard for me to get out of the bed. So it's been very helpful, her remedy. It was like I was, that one day it got cold, and I was a little late for Amrit Vela, and then the next day it was her class, and I was like, oh, Baba, you answered my question. So that's been very helpful. And I'm, you know, being in Baba's hut and Baba's room has been very helpful for Amrit Vela. And for the last question, I just thought of three words, Baba, Murli, and Madhuban, to reach your Karmateet stage. Om Shanti. I hope you all enjoyed. Okay, Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. You're refreshed? Yes? So you heard beautiful experiences, which has, I think, inspired all of you to take a new initiative. And we all are becoming new every moment. Yes? Not just the new ones. Srila Ben was saying new ones, but we are all new ones. Because the moment we realize, we become new. Every moment we are realizing and we are becoming new, ready for the new world. Yeah. So if you have any questions from your side, do you have any questions? No questions? All questions are answered? Yes, anyone from the audience?
Was there anybody who found that, okay, this was really useful, or I got insight in how to deal with this situation? Raise your hands, you don't have to share. But anybody found that, you know, that was really kind of like where I was going and where I was thinking and how I could maneuver. Yeah, thank you. If you're inspired to share, by all means, you are. You can share.
Okay, let's give a big hand to all the four godly angels. Very beautiful panel. So anyway, we end up with a few minutes of meditation and we remember who we are again. Who am I? So this awareness is going to put you to soul consciousness all the time, to be aware who I am. So now let's start with that and visualize ourselves as a worship worthy deity. I see myself being dressed as a deity. As I am in Madhuban, the paradise, I can feel and experience my own elevated status. As a child of the highest on high, my most beloved Bap Dada, bestowed the status of a deity to me. I really feel connected. I'm experiencing my future stage. As a present stage, I am that innocent, pure deity. So in this field of action, I interact with everyone by seeing them in their deity form. So now I'm going to walk, talk, and eat like a deity. Om Shanti.